Give you all glory. We worship you, Lord. Pray. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Speak through my mouth. Talk to us, Lord Jesus, and let your name, Lord, be glorified. Open our hearts to receive your word. And thank you, Jesus, for what you have brought for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can you sit down? Praise the Lord. Today, this is not how I wanted to start it, but I'll just let the Lord God lead. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm like a salesman. I'm trying to promote something. The Lord wants me to promote His kingdom. And that's why I say a salesman's job is to tell you the great things that He wants you to buy, and also. And then after He tells you the great thing you want to buy and you are excited, then He tells you what it costs, how much you're going to pay for it. So that is going to be what the Lord wants me to talk about today. Amen. And it's about our heavenly home. You know, we have talked about, for the past series, we have talked about the trials, how persecution may come, how people may have to lay down their life, how things may happen in the world, how we must stand for Jesus. But you need to know why you are standing for Jesus. You need to know where you are going. What am I trying to gain? What is this thing that we want to die for? That is why the Lord said, change the topic, let's talk about the heavenly home. Amen?
Amen.
I said, well, that's why I say, well, I'm not used to sentimental, but this is much more than sentimental. So open with me to John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. So that you can know that this thing is real, that He has promised mankind. In fact, the Bible said it this way, that all these our fathers, our patriarchs, they call themselves pilgrims upon earth. Pilgrims upon earth. The Bible said, God, they are looking for a city which has foundation. A city with foundation. You say, what does that mean? You see this phoenix, does this phoenix has foundation? Or New York, is there any foundation for that city? But when you say a city that has foundation, it's like building a house. You know, you have to lay foundation before you start building. The Bible is saying there is a city that has foundation, that they were looking forward to. And I want to talk to you about that city that has foundation. I'm going to describe it from the scriptures so that you can have your, you can salivate. People call it appetite. I want that. It must be so sweet. Amen? Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, let me read verse 2. The Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. See, I go to prepare a place for you. Mansions. He didn't say some rooms. He didn't say my Father's house, there are many rooms. Rooms will be like, oh gee, me and my wife can stay in one room. It's a mansion. And many have seen these mansions in visions. I have seen it. But I'm not going there yet. I want to go through the cloud. I don't want to go through the grave. But there are still mansions that the Bible promised. If you see that mansion, you don't want to come back. You would like to stay there. Especially if you don't have nothing upon this planet. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself. Now, you may say he was promising that to the apostles because they are all with him right now. But the promise is for everybody. Amen. For everyone that we believe. Wow. Till the time of the end. But what are these mansions? What are these mansions? What? Let me first give you some quick insight. Look at this. You, many of us that are sitting down here are scientists. So you, or if you are not scientists, you have read the news, you've seen so many things. This planet is just a small ball. Not small, but small compared to the universe. Floating. And there are tons of them all over that are floating around the sun. And then the sun itself is just a small speck called star among billions of stars in the universe. Just the section we call our own solar system, where you have the sun and about 9 planets surrounding the sun, rotating like this. Our big heart that we are standing upon looks so big to us. Because I saw some movies and I said, wait a minute. For human beings to just grow into the desert and die, walking, couldn't get water, they don't know where to go. This place is huge. This planet is huge. But you know, this planet is small compared to Jupiter. And Jupiter is almost 2 times or 3 times of this planet. Big rocks standing. And what they find on Jupiter, they don't know. Practically empty. Do you know that God created all these things for man?
Amen.
For man. Well, I'm just telling you the physical. I'm just telling you the physical. Because you can imagine that now, that is just saying that in this universe, in this our solar system alone, these big planets that are there, just part of this solar system that look like there's nothing inside it, which they know that there's particularly the polar system. Mars is bigger than this place. The planet called Mars is bigger than us here. But so far, the scientists think or know that only this planet Earth is habitable in this solar system. But they were looking, they said, in other galaxies there, they have seen some planets that seem to be habitable also. So what I'm trying to point to you in that little story of scientific revelation is that there are so many places in the universe, physical universe, that can inhabit human beings. Many places. To make you to know that we are not talking about the spiritual part yet, because Christ, when he resurrected into a physical body, he went up. When you go up, where do you go to? Physical universe. Elijah the prophet, a shadow came and took him up. He went up into the physical universe. God Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. So don't be surprised if you find that God has been preparing a small city on one of those stones. I call it stones because this planet is just a stone. Now they say it has foundation. And that is what you will see in this, my heavenly home, I'm just describing for you. That Christ is making for us a city. Amen?
Amen.
So that's just talking about the physical, not talk about the spiritual, because in the spiritual world there are other things that you cannot even see. Just describing how the physical that you can see with the telescope, with all the astronauts going up and down trying to see beyond the stars, what they can describe, and thinking maybe, and I'm trying to pull those together and saying, there's something out there for us. Now, when Christ said he is preparing a city, and the Bible said there's a city that has foundation, you can say, well, just think of all these asteroid bodies. The Bible said there's a mountain that is as big as this, and they said there's an asteroid that they can crash down. These asteroid bodies are just big stones that can be as big as miles away, miles wide. It's very easy for God to take one of those asteroid bodies. They are floating all over around the course of the solar belt, full of asteroids. It's very easy for God to take one of them and make it the foundation and be building a city on it. Because I'm going to go to the book of Revelation, you will see the Bible says this city came down from heaven, from God. So it's like an asteroid body coming down gradually upon this planet Earth, maybe floating or going to land. So don't think it's impossible. These men that wrote this thing by the vision God has showed to them, they didn't even know about all this telescope we are talking about. We can begin to say, oh, it's possible. Now it's possible. Oh, yeah, even people have gone out of this planet. They don't know anything about airplane in those days, and they wrote these things down. They don't know anything about a space shuttle going up, and they wrote these things down. So God is far beyond space shuttle. He can bring a city that can come down gradually and land upon this planet. If human beings have been able to go up, and when they are coming down, they are crashing. Now they are now able to come down and land 6,000 years after man started. But God has been far beyond that. So when he said there's a city that has foundation, believe it.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Believe it. Now let me go further. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Talking about this glory that God is preparing us for and preparing for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Here's how Apostle Paul describes it here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but are the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say is that whatever you are going through, it's a light affliction, you call it, compared to the glory that is going to be revealed, that God is promising for mankind, for those who can overcome and arrive there at the end. This glory is what I'm describing, that our heavenly home we are talking about. Think of it like maybe the Lord has already have another planet somewhere there in the universe for us. It's a small thing. Now, when you look through the Bible, you will say, well, it looks very, 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 very possible that it's actually this planet Earth that's going to be renovated. Because there is a Bible that says there will be a new heaven and a new earth in the end. A new heaven and a new earth. Well, think about that scientifically, a new heaven and a new earth, when all these things are all done and over. And he said there will be no more sea in that new heaven and new earth. No more sea? Do you know that this planet we are on is two-thirds filled with water? Two-thirds. We are just on one-third dry ground. If there is no more sea, there will be a lot of space on this planet. How much more if God simply say, well, let's just do away with this planet and put us on another bigger planet. All of those big planets like Jupiter, like Mars, and they are all Uranus, and they are all there. So it's a small thing for God to do. So you should be able to believe these promises of God. It's very easy for me to believe. As an engineer, I can believe this easily, that, oh yeah, there will be a city that has foundation. Let's go and see this city that God has promised for us. But before I go into that city, let me read some more Bible verses about what Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Here Apostle Paul was saying, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Yeah. Now, there are two things to that. I'm describing to you the heavenly hope, which is, where are we going? Where is this city called heaven? Where is this new Jerusalem? All about, I'm describing the new Jerusalem first. But there's another glory that is to be revealed in us. We, human beings. God has a plan for you and for me. Not just a plan to take you to a city, that is the final place or a heavenly place or this planet Earth, when we shall be, when everything is done. But He has a purpose for your body, my body, physical body that you are carrying here. This is not how God intended to be, where we are prone to diseases and sicknesses and attacks from elements, from viruses. God planned to make a new body for us. Immortal body that shall never see sickness and no death. He planned to change us to light. You say, what does that mean, change us to light? Let me clear it to you, Acts of the Apostles. When after Jesus Christ resurrected, how many people believe that Jesus Christ resurrected into his own body? Physical body. Raise up your hand if you believe that. And it was not just a spirit floating in the air like a ghost. It was a physical. This body that was in the grave for 3 days, he took it out and walked with it. Because when the apostles said, they thought it's a ghost. And they said, why are you so afraid? Touch me and see that a spirit has no flesh and bone like I have. So it was his physical body he took out. Just like your physical body and my physical body. That was the body that went up. Now, when he appeared to Apostle John, the same the Lord Jesus Christ, when he appeared to Apostle John, the Apostle John said he saw a light brighter than the sun. And he fell down. A light brighter than the sun. So the body the Lord God promised for us is going to be able to change from this particle, material, to light. That is, you will see a pillar of light standing like this, a pillar of light. You say, what is this? It's a light. Then you look closely, it will be tracing my body. But it's still light. What do you mean by light? It should be like an electric bulb. Electric bulb in the shape of my body. And then when I quench it, you see me walk out of it, it will be me. You can touch me. Huh? And then when I went back into it, you just glow. That is what Jesus Christ sees now. And the Bible says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. So that is the glory that he planned for mankind. That is the light body that can never die. Now, if you change to light, well, I was in physics, no, engineering. And when I was in bachelor's degree, we were doing physics, what they call atomic, whatever, I can't remember the topic. And the professor, that was an unbeliever, he thought he was joking. He said, hey, you know, it's you Christians said, Jesus Christ went up to heaven. He said, that will be possible if you can change particle to wave. That was a professor in physics. He said, that will be possible if you can change particle to wave, electromagnetic wave. Which what light is electromagnetic wave. So I just said, well, God could do that. And that was what God is saying he will do. Changing this physical material. What is our body? Atoms. Atoms. You all went to school. You say, oh, atom is the smallest particle that can be divided. Oh, yeah. That was how far we went when we were in college. Atom. What is an atom? The smallest particle. If you cut it. The smallest you cannot cut into pieces, that is an atom. And when you go further, we say, what is quantum? Going to quantum electronics, you say, well, what is that atom? Oh, atom is electrons, protons, neutrons. Okay, yeah, well, that is, now, well, what is electron? And then we're going to quantum electronics, electrons, they're actually waves, packets of waves. What is wave? Electromagnetic waves. So the professor said, well, I'm telling you, if you can change the particles to waves, we can disappear and appear. We can go at speed of light. So you see why Christ is saying those are small things for the Holy Ghost. So it's in another world can manifest. That is the body that God planned for mankind. The glory that the Apostle Paul is saying. He say, let me read that verse again that I just read. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. What did the Apostle Paul say? The glory that shall be revealed in us, say that, let me read it again. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Think about it. That is the body God is preparing for you and for me. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This glory that I just described in a nutshell, that our body will suddenly change to light, and it's going to be a light that can change back and forth as you will it by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. That is the plan of God for you and for me. Think about it. But do you want to lose that glory? That is why Christ said, what will it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And lose this destination we are talking about. Our destination for the body is to come to that light glory where we become like Christ and appear and disappear and show ourselves like light and then come to the physical body and then come back into the other, into the material body or to the wave body and go to another planet just like that at the thinking of the thought. This is what the angels are already using. Think of it like a vehicle. It's like a transportation vehicle. They thought Elijah was appearing and disappearing. Think of it like a vehicle. It's already, look at all these things we have discovered now. You can take your cell phone and talk, and it's talking to your friend in China, and a wave is taking it. Something is carrying your voice, and it's going, and it's appearing in China. Okay? And we say, wow, human beings have invented, we didn't invent anything other than this small thing, but the wave has been there before we all came over here. We are discovering how to use it. Discovering. So we were only discovering it. So what God is saying is that angels are already using these things I just told you about. They can appear. Right? Now, angels are surrounding us. You can't see them. But they can appear in our realm when God wants them to appear. So when I said we are going to change from particle to wave, that was the plan of God in the original creation. But Adam lost something and God quenched it and drove them out so that they cannot go back in and out. They can't go back in, they can't go back out. And the human beings have been locked out of that possibility. Until Christ came, he came to redeem us, to bring us back, so that we can inherit this possibility to go back and forth from the visible to the invisible. That is the plan of God for our body. Amen? Now, when that is done, he also planned a city for us. Let's go to city. Let me describe that city, the heavenly glory. Open to Revelation chapter 21. So all these things are, the prophets have described, they have described it. These things are true. Even science is telling us we are getting closer to understanding this thing better. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, Apostle John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Well, what do you mean by new heaven? We know what can say a new earth, we are maybe a new planet. They said a new heaven. Well, what he called heaven could just be the sky, the firmament. Anything above this ground, he would call it heaven because that's what he meant. Elijah went up to heaven. They didn't know where he went to another planet. He just assumed anything above here is heaven also. So they say a new heaven. So I can say, oh, well, maybe if there will be no more sea. Now, think of this planet, just this planet alone. If God is to evaporate all the water that is on this planet and they form a cloud, it will look like a new heaven. Why? Because the cloud will be completely different from what we have now. It will be so thick. Who knows color that will be on that cloud? And if the light is coming from the another sun through those clouds, it will look differently. If all the water, because there's too much water on this planet, it will look like a new heaven. How much more if we are no more on this planet, we are on another planet that has no water, and you look up, it's going to look like something different. So Apostle John saw something. I'm just trying to make it to see that he saw something that he's describing. And the only way he could describe it is saying it's a new heaven, a new earth. How God does it is what I'm just saying. It could be this, it could be that, it could be anything, but it's a new heaven and a new earth. That is saying, rejoice in what God wants to do. But will you be one of them to inherit this place? Now, how long can you live on this planet? How long? The longest person that lived on this planet never clocked 1,000 years. And that is just one day, as far as God is concerned, one day, 1,000 years. The longest person that lived the longest is Methuselah, 962 years. 962 years. That's not even one day. Because God said, in the day you do this, you will die. That's why none of them clocked 1,000. Except the one the Lord took without seeing death. So what I'm trying to say then is, are you going to trade 960 something years for this eternity where you are going to see this glory, this great glory that God is describing, a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more death, and it should be forever. Forever is so huge compared to 1,000 years or one day. How much more? We don't even live 120 nowadays. The last thing God told Moses was 120 years is what he gave to man. And hardly do you see many people getting that far. In the days of King David, they were saying 70, oh Lord, if we ever make 80, we are strong. That was David in the kingdom. Now you can say, well, people are living up to 102, 103, the oldest man in Guinness Book of Records. 110, 115. That's still small. Don't trade that for this heavenly home. Eternity. Eternity. Let me read further chapter 21. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. This is what he wrote. I didn't write this. A new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's a city that is coming down. That is the city that has foundation that Apostle Paul described in the book of Hebrews. So these men, they are looking for a city. Abraham looking for that city. And for that purpose, they were actually living in tents. They decided not to build mansions for themselves on earth. They live in tents because they call themselves pilgrims upon the earth. And the God has prepared for them a city. And Apostle John is describing this city for us in this chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. And he heard, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, that is look, that's what behold means, look, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God described what he will do. God said, I will wipe away tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. See what I just said? We say, well, they died, what's going to happen to those who died? He's going to raise them back to that body. Oh, yeah, you have not listened to my sermon on resurrection. I have it on radio. I preach it for the radio, not here. But resurrection, the bodies of those that have been dead, they will be resurrected again to their physical body. Those bones that were in the grave for hundreds of years, they shall come out again and live again. And God said he will put flesh upon it again. He gave example of that in the book of Ezekiel. That is, he will bring these people that were there back to their physical body that can be changed to what I just described. Because this physical body is what is going to change. Say, well, some people say, oh, well, what does God need those bones for? He can just flick a finger and we will all, but if we are not, If those bones were still in the grave, then it's not called resurrection. It won't be called resurrection if the bones were still in the graves. Think about that. What does resurrection mean? It will not be called resurrection if those bones were still in the grave somewhere and their spirits are just floating. Then that is not resurrection. But God called it resurrection. That he is going to bring the bones back because he needed those bones. Say, well, gee, God can create new bones. No, he didn't want to create new bones. That's why when he made the first man, he listed it. They said he wanted to make the woman. Well, why did he have to go and make a rib out of the body of the man? Or do you think that was just a symbol? He said he made the Adam sleep. And he took a rib out of Adam. He said, gee, you lost all the materials or what? Praise the Lord. So God said, no, I needed that bone to make a woman. So God still needed that bone that was in the grave to bring them back alive and change them to that supernatural body we are just describing. The glory that has changed from light to wave back to body. God needed that bone. So he's going to raise them up again, give them this new body, and they shall live forever. Amen. That is what he's saying. There will be no more death at this time. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That is, the man, the one that was sitting on the throne, God Almighty is saying, write it. This is true and faithful. That is, it will not fail. Or it could take 1,000 years more, but it will not fail. Because 1,000 years to God is like yesterday, just 2 days, 3 days. The Lord God has been waiting for 6,000 years to bring us to this point. Since he created the first man, Adam. See? So, to him, that's like 6 days. Let me give another postulate. The scientists know that one day on our own planet, or 1 year, when the planet is rotating like this and we're going around the sun like this, to go around the sun takes 1 year. Also, that 1 year on another planet that is rotating differently, it's like 1 day. Because they can look at it and say, how long does it take Jupiter to just turn around in this big size? That's 1 day on Jupiter. And the planet Earth will have rotated like this so many times, which we call days and nights and days and months. Then think of where God is. So that's why a day, the Bible said a day with him is like 1,000 years with us. So, and the scientist said if somebody gets into a space ship and you fly away at the speed of light and you go just for a particular few minutes, they calculated it. They say if you come back, you will be like so many years old. In few minutes on the flying at the speed of light. But when you come back, your children will have been great-great-great-grandchildren have been born for you, and you are just 37 years old. But your children have become great-great-grandchildren because it takes them so many hundreds of years on planet Earth for you to come back. And when you come back, you will have been 37 years old. If Elijah showed up right now, he will be like a young man the way he left. Okay? But he won't know nobody because all the generations have done, come and gone, come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. So what we are saying is, when God said all these things, they are true and they are faithful, he meant it. So 1,000 years with us is nothing to him. Verse 6 said, and he said unto me, it is done. Not it shall be done, it is done. God always speaks in past tense because these things, like we said, is done, gone. Our names were already written before we were even born in the book of life. So you are walking through a movie that has been pre-recorded, that some people have seen it over, over and over again. They have seen the end from the beginning. So you are just walking through it. But think of it, when you turn a movie on that you have watched over and over again and your children have never seen it, you will tell them, that man is going to do this thing next. They wonder, how do you know? Because you have watched that movie 100 times. Not so. But to them, they are seeing this movie for the first time. I remember when I came to America, I was watching all this Leave It to Beaver. And it excited me, Leave It to Beaver. But it was recorded in the 1940s. Amen. So that's what I'm saying. Those who have seen it over and over again, they will know what Levi is going to do next, and so on and so forth. So that is what God is saying when he tells you about what his plan is and what you are going to do next and what is going to happen next. He has already seen these things. It is done. Past tense to him. Now he's giving you a hope so that you can hang in there. Hang in there, because you see that many have passed before us that overcame also. And verse 6 of Amri says, I am Alpha and Omega. Amen. The beginning and the end. That he is the beginning, he is the end. He has seen the beginning, he has seen the end, and he's telling you. He said, I will give to him that is a task of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. Clap for Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, I'll come back to that verse. Let me go to chapter 22 or just describe the city itself that Apostle John saw. From verse 9, Apostle John said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which are the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. When somebody calls you and says, come, let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife, you will say, oh, who is that beautiful girl that Jesus is going to marry? What did it show to him? It showed him a city. Amen? That is the bride, a city. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and show me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like to a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, it's going to describe all of these things, which you can read and read, and some people say, oh, maybe it's just symbolic. He said, I saw a city, and he said it was taken to a mountain, because when you see the description of this city, for you to see inside, you've got to be on the top of a mountain to see inside. Because just the dimension, brother, put on that PDF. People have been trying to predict, or just think of what it could look like. Put on that PDF. I saw some of these people in New Jersey, they tried to say, well, if it could be this, it could look like this, and they're just drawing it out. I actually, when I was in Nigeria, I calculated what he called the dimension of it, because the angel mentioned it, and he said it's the measurement of man in verse 16. And he called it the city life 4 square, the length as large as the breadth, and he measured the city, and he said 12,000 furlongs. People are trying to depict what it could look like. So some people draw out that and say, well, if it's going to be like a cube, because that's what he's describing. He said 12,000 furlongs, the length and breadth and the height are the same. That's a cube. And he said, he measured the wall 140. So they said, well, what does that mean? It's the thickness of the wall or something like that. So there are many things that he described here for us. But when you see what is a 12,000 furlongs, I calculated it, it's about 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles length, 1,500 miles breadth. Then of course the mystery is that it's also 1,500 miles tall. Oh, what kind of city is that? Could it be actually a whole cross of mountain God just cut it to and then dig inside it and make inside the whole planet, I call it planet, call it a asteroid body, that he carve it out into a mountain, into a cube, and then make inside of it hollow and then make the cities inside it. Could it be that? You know, 1,500, when I was in Nigeria, I measured that from Lagos to Maiduguri, which is the cross Nigeria, is 1,500 miles. I said, wow, that's big. So that gives you Nigerians to see, to picture. That's like from the size of Texas, if I can think it that way. So you guys are no American map. I say, well, size of Texas is the biggest state. But it's a city now. God says it's a city that he's building. It's going to be that bad, that big. If it's going to land, if that city is going to land on the earth, he didn't say actually, I say it's descending. If it's going to land and land on Jerusalem, Jerusalem is big. You have to talk of the whole region from Syria all the way to Jordan. Make a cube like that. It's not Jerusalem city here that is not that by big. We're talking of the whole region. That's why I say Nigeria is just the diagonal. It's 1,500 miles. So, and this city is length and breadth and height 1,500 miles. That's what the Bible said here. You can go to the next picture because they're just different people. Just call it. Some people describe it as it's going to be shining. Of course, it's going to be shining light because what you will read here. And he went further in verse 17. He measured the wall 104 square, 40 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of man. The angel was saying, this is the man's measurement, not supernatural. Just see the thickness of it. And the building of the wall, jasper, and he described all the foundations. See, when Apostle Paul said, God is making a city that has foundation. Because no city on the planet has foundation. A house has foundation, not a city. He said, God is making a city that has foundation. So, and here Apostle John is describing what God has made. The only person that can make a city that has foundation must be bigger. You have to be big to be able to make a foundation on your hand. Of you, Muma means want to make a foundation on this little house. They have to dig ground and lay concrete and so on. And if you're going to do that for your whole city, you have to be huge yourself. Also. So God that you are dealing with is the Almighty. Amen. Amen. So I'm just describing to you what this heavenly city looks like. In verse 12 to 13 of Revelation chapter 22, it describes what I'm just describing, the size, the length, the breadth, the height, and so on. Go to the next, just scroll it up. You see some people depict like this, where it's a city with lights coming out from the door. And I saw a vision about several years ago. I saw a vision. Think of it like a city. You see the entrance like that, that look like a gate and a light coming out of that. Is that the one where the light is coming out of that gate? Go to the next one. Maybe there's another one. Okay, something like that. I was in a vision, something in 2008, 2007, and I was on top of a mountain in that vision, and there was a gate like this, and that light, like that, people were coming from outside, they wanted to get in through that gate. And looking through that gate was almost as bright light, the whole city was like that bright light. And they came, trying to enter, they ran back. Very soon they are piling up at the entrance, they couldn't go in. I gave that vision several times. They couldn't go in because somebody was saying, an angel was here trying to kill us at the gate. I was on top of a mountain just looking at the drama that was going on. Now, as they were congregating at the door of that, at the entrance of that city, then someone said, wait, the Lord is coming to talk to us. The Lord is coming to talk to us. And then from that city, on top of the wall, came doves coming from the city. Doves. They just flew out, and then the Lord also came with them, doves. He also flew out and landed in front of those people, the crowd that were gathered at the gate that couldn't go in. And the Lord told them that, did I not tell you to love one another? Did I not tell you to love one another? That was why they couldn't go in. Well, that was depicted to me in that vision. I'm sure that they most likely wouldn't get through to the entrance, but God wanted to show you what he meant, why they couldn't go in through the door, because they have something missing. They claim to be believers, they claim to be Christians, something was missing. Now, I've described to you that heavenly home. And I've described to you that our glory that we are to get, our body is going to change to. Because by the time you get to that door, you change to light to go in. Your body, the Holy Ghost in you will just change you to light to go in. You can put it off. Now, to go in, like I said, the Lord showed in that vision, something has to be there. He said, did I not tell you to love one another? The only thing that can get you there is that love, divine love. And that's what I'm going to talk. That's my topic today. So, what do you mean? You describe all these just to talk about love? Oh, yes. Because that is the key. That is the key that can take you there. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. I'll read verse 12. The only way we are going to get into that city is when we have that love that God has talked about over and over and over and over again. Verse 12, John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I want that to sink in. Because it showed to me in that vision that they couldn't go in through that door, into that light. Because he said, didn't I tell you to love one another? He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John chapter 13, let me read verse 34 and verse 35. John chapter 13, Gospel of John. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If ye have love one to another. God is talking to your heart now. I said, the glory that we are talking about, God wanted to show in you, the glory just to our body going to be glorified. And the city that he has prepared for those who made it. What can you trade for it? I remember our pastor preached something recently. He said, what is your price? What is your price? How much can you be offered to go with Satan to hell? Anybody, you have a price? How much? Satan dangles some things in front and say, well, you want to catch a fish, you dangle a worm on a hook and the fish, and you got him. Satan dangles some things in front of some people. It could be money. How much should he dangle before you for you to go with him to hell? $1 million? $1 billion? What about $200 billion? Or presidency of America? You know, there's an accusation, you know, this called conspiracy theorists. They were accusing these presidents that these people they were in what we call secret courts. That is Illuminati, that these people, they accused people like Obama, people like George Bush, that they were members of these secret cults. What does that really mean? That they have sold themselves, that if you just can make me the president, they will serve him. Maybe that's why they are making laws to make the homosexuals marry one another, and you wonder what's going on in America. See? Well, whether those things are true or not, how much can the devil dangle before you that you go with him to hell? Or what kind of thrill is worth? I remember saying this to someone. I said, people say, sex, sex, sex. They want to have this. What thrill that you think you can go to hell for that thrill? Is that sex thrilling you enough that you rather take this seed just because you and sell the soul. What trail is it in it that will make you go to hell? It's Satan. Some people, the devil does not even dangle anything. They just live for the devil. Well, you promise some people some money, you promise some people presidency. And some people, you didn't promise them nothing. They just go. That means they belong to him anyway. Well, of course, if they belong to the devil, they don't need any prize. They just go with him. Christ said, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Will you lose this great glory for some trail that the devil is dangling in front of you? Alcohol, party, drinking, alcohol, sex. Will that make you lose this thing? Will that make you lose this thing? This glory we are talking about, this glorification of our body to light. What is your price? The devil promised Jesus. He said, after he gave him the first temptation, and the devil, Jesus didn't buy, he said, well, I'm thinking of it that the devil just said, oh, well, let's just go straight to the point. Jesus, let's go straight to the point. Stand right here. See all this glory. See all these cities. New York, Paris, light, everything. See them? I will give you rule over them. They will be all yours. You will be controlling them. Let's sign an agreement and just bow down and worship me. You say, is that the ultimate price? Well, that's called pride of life. Will you buy and give up all this heavenly kingdom for that? He has not even promised you that. He promised that to Messiah. Messiah said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And him only shalt thou serve. So what is the devil promising you that you want to give up all this beautiful city, this glorification? Let me bring that to our level, because sometimes people say, well, yeah, I will never do that. I will never bow to the devil. But are you already bowing down to the devil? Anything that you do not want to give up, anything that you don't want to give up for Christ, is as simple as saying you are trading this beautiful glory for that thing you don't want to give up. What is that thing that you are holding dear that you don't want to give up? It could be pride, your ego, the unforgiveness, that this man hurt me, I will never forgive him. When you know that unforgiveness is taking people to hell and lake of fire, unforgiveness. So what can somebody that hurts you so bad? And Jesus Christ said something. Jesus Christ said, don't be afraid of a man that can kill the body and not touch your soul. He said, just be afraid of he that can kill the body and also destroy the soul in hell, which is God. Now, if you say somebody hurt you so much that you are not going to forgive that person and you refuse, you know what you are doing? You are letting that person send you to hell. Why? Because you are not forgiving the person, and unforgiveness will send you to hell. How can you let anybody rub that insult upon injury and send you to hell also after making hurting you so much? So you know that if you don't obey Christ because of something you are holding on to, it's like trading this beautiful thing we just described for that thing you are holding on to. So whatever it is, whatever it is. Think of it like somebody say, well, gee, I want to declutter my house. And you say, declutter, oh yeah, take everything out. They are cluttering me. But don't touch this jewelries, and I don't want to declutter that. That's like saying you don't want to, it's almost like if you are trying to say, I don't want to give up this thing because I just can't. That means you are trading this beautiful thing you are describing for that thing you are holding on to. So what is that price that you are ready to pay, that you are ready to get, to give up heaven and this beautiful city that God is promising you? So that's why he said the only solution is, the way to get there is that love. So what is going to hinder your love for him? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see what God said will let us go in. The unconditional love is what people like to describe it to me, not this other thing that sometimes we think is love. The unconditional part. He hurt me, but I'm forgiving him. This fellow did something, but I'm forgiving him from the bottom of my... Why? Because I don't want to miss that beautiful city. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, what is your price? The devil wants to give you that price so that you can go with him to hell. He said, I'm not going with you to hell, no matter what the devil is dangling in front of my face. God is saying, this is what will get you in there, divine love. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I will be like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Even if I have gifts of prophecy, mysteries, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have the faith, I can remove mountains. If I don't have love, he said, I am nothing. You say, well, gee, everybody talk about that, but you see, I'm bringing it down to a level that if you have something in your heart against somebody, then that love is missing. It means I love everybody else except this fellow. He hurt me so much. I can't. Then you, and Christ said, you must have love for everybody. Are you trying to say that hatred for that fellow is worth more than heaven? You have to compare the two. Say, are you going to hold on to this just to get rid of that? Because the devil will give anything that you will buy from him so that he can take you with him. But you have to tell yourself, what is worth more? That's how Apostle Paul said, there is no glory can be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's no glory in this planet Earth that can use to compare with what God is bringing. That you can say, well, I will take this instead of that. No, I don't see. And he described what love, and Christ said, didn't I say you love for another? That is the entrance to that city. And that's why I'm describing what he called love here. In verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, it's not the giving of the money to the poor. Though I give my body to be burned, he said, you can still not have this love. He said, if you profit me nothing, he said, love will suffer long. Love, now he's describing love. He said, love suffereth long. It's this unconditional love that God has for mankind. That people are spitting on his face, he's still loving mankind. It's a day of reckoning coming, of course. The day of judgment is coming, but right now, love everybody. Even if you stumble and fall, stand up again and say, I will love. I will show. Why? Because I don't want to miss that heaven. I don't want to lose that glory. He said, this is the only thing that can get us there. Love will rapture the bride. He said, it suffers long. It's kind. Envieth not. Vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not rude, does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. He said, this love will bear all things. He said, I can't bear it anymore. That's why they are separating. Well, if you look back, he said, love beareth all things. You can be angry and then when you remember who you are, you come back to this and say, hey, Lord, I will bear this for Christ's sake. I will bear this for this city's sake. I don't want to lose that glory. See, love believeth all things and hopeth all things and endures all things. See, this love never fails. This love never fails. And Christ said, didn't I say you should love one another? That's the only way we get through that door to that city that has been described for us. 1 John chapter 4, Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, as I wrap it up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, verse 8, say, knoweth not God. So if you love not, so you know not God. For God is love. This is the unconditional love we are talking about. Unconditional. that say, he hurt me, but I forgive. From the bottom of my heart, I'm not holding him or her to it. Remember that. And God, chapter 4, verse 16 of that 1 John describe what love, this love really say. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God himself is love. You see why you cannot get through the door unless you have love? See, God himself is love. And God is light. And that light in that city, the Bible said in chapter 22 that there's no need for sun in that city. No need for the light of the sun or the light of the moon. Because God himself is the light. God is light. The city itself is lighted by the light of God. So for you to get in there, you better be clothed with God, inside in God, outside with God. You have to have that love because God is love. Amen. That's what he says in verse 16. See, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. That is where we're going to wrap up this message. After you have heard this, I say, what are you going to trade for that city? That bitterness, you want to hold on to it? That fellow that hurt you so badly, are you going to hold on to it? You cannot forgive this one. Let God take his heaven. What is the price that you are willing to accept from the devil to go with him to hell? Think about it. And let's stand up. Let's stand up. I don't want to lose that beautiful city or the glorification of our body. When our body shall glow as light, appear and disappear on this planet. I want to go to Mars. You just appear there. Oh, I have a friend that is on Jupiter. You just appear there. That is the glorification. On top of that is the beautiful city. Streets of gold. I've not even described that. You go and read that yourself. The streets of gold. This gold is what they call, it's as clear as crystal. You can see through everything. There's nothing to hide. You'll be seeing through houses and walls. That is what God is preparing for us. But are you going to trade that for some flimsy thrill on earth? What is that thrill that the devil is trying to make you to accept, to give up that side so that you can go with him? Young people, what is the thrill? This is money, old people. Some business contract. Just give me the kickback. Is anything that is going to be sin, are you going to trade that for this beautiful city? Some bribe, corruption, I must get this contract. I must get this contract. Just sign this thing. Give them the bribe. Whatever is the sin, are you ready to trade it for this beautiful city? Or the sin of immorality, all those type of things. Do you like those trades so much that you are ready to trade those for this beautiful city? It's a solemn thing if you think about it and say, Lord, I don't want to miss that glorification of mankind. We are, Apostle Paul said, our body is groaning for that redemption of our body. And it looked like, oh, it's so far. I talked to an old man one time. I said, gee, he was asking me, he said, you can enjoy this world. And I said, when he was trying to, that fellow was trying to win people to join them in the occultic. And I told him, I said, why will you lose your soul for this thrill, whatever the occultic power you're going to get or whatever thing you're going to get from the devil? And the man said, well, nobody has gone back there and come back to tell us whether those things are real. And so that's why you want to enjoy this world now? I say, we have gone back there and come back. We are telling you the truth. It is real. He said, but nobody will enjoy this part and enjoy that part, so we better just enjoy this one. I said, wait a minute. We are going to enjoy this one Because what is the enjoyment? It's not this sin. To fellowship with angels, to pray, and the fellowship we have with God and with angels in love alone. You may say, well, there are some suffering and those are nothing. That's why Apostle Paul said, all the afflictions of this world are nothing to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us, my brethren. So don't think of anything you can suffer in this world as so much suffering. It's nothing compared to what you are seeing God is preparing for us. So let's come and ask Jesus Christ to help us for that grace. And Lord, I want that grace to press on. I don't want to lose that glory. And if you want to signify that, I don't know what you are talking about. You want me to pray with you? Come forward. If you have not been born again, you have not given your life to Christ. You just need to get the first step into Christ so that you can be on your way to that city. That is what we call being born again. Come, let me pray for you. But if you have dipped your hand in sin, you have been playing with ungodliness. You have been playing with all immorality. You have been playing with all those vices. And it doesn't look like you're in that way. I was talking to somebody. I went to Albasi. And I talked to this guy. And he said, look, talking to me about Christ. He said, look at my tattoo. So I didn't know what he meant. I said, well, does that mean you are so bad? And I saw the tattoo, there was a cross on it. I said, oh, does that mean that by that cross you are trying to change? He said, oh, that cross is upside down. I said, oh, well, that mean that you are so bad? So he said, I'm atheist. It does not go anywhere. So I went back and gave a cross. I said, well, here I have a tract. So I want to give you this tract so that when we meet on the other side, I will say, I told him. One black guy, he said, are you from Nigeria? I said, yes. One black guy gave me this thing, and you can't go back when you cross to the other side. What I'm trying to say is, if you have not made your peace with Christ, you can come, let's pray with you right now. And we pray with you. And if you have dipped yourself in sin, you need to repent. You don't want to trade all those thrills for this beautiful city. Maybe you need to come, let's pray with you also. Otherwise, everybody else pray. Just talk to the Lord yourself now. Just talk to the Lord. Like a salesman, I present to you that beautiful city, that glory of mankind, the glorification of our body that Christ has promised us. In my Father's house are many mansions. Even if it is physical kingdom, if the physical universe is worth it all. Not to talk of the invisible universe that I have not even described. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard. Neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. The prophets have been saying that for thousands of years. The Apostle Paul said, now he's revealing to us, the prophets, through the Holy Spirit. We're now seeing it. That's why I have described many things. Even by knowledge of science, we are seeing that these things are all there. Whether they can see it or not, I can see some of those things. They are there. Now, talk to the Father and say, Lord, help me not to put my hands in the sin, not to delve into all immorality or ungodliness. I don't want to trade anything for this kingdom, for this glorification. Don't think, well, it's still 1,000 years to come. The day you cross over, that's when it begins, whether you make it or not. The day you cross over from this side. If you cross over by death, that's it. You cannot come back and say, oh, let me go back and do something right. So you better live for him now and live right. So don't think it's 1,000 years to come. So talk to the Father. Father, we thank you. And we praise you. And we worship you, Lord. Thank you for what you have prepared for us. And you call us to come unto you. He said, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man as according as their works shall be. And you have said in your word, Lord, you say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, he said, without, these are the things that I said I'll come back to. Without, those that will not be able to go in are the dogs. So you think about it, am I behaving like a dog? And the sorcerers. Are you behaving like a sorcerer? If you curse somebody in your heart, You don't wish good for anybody for whatever reason. You are falling into that category of sorcerers. And Christ is saying, without, at least they won't be able to get to that city, dogs, sorcerers, warmongers, those are all the sexual immoralities, call it whatever you can call it, and murderers, hateful hate. That unforgiveness we classify under murderers. Idolaters, those who don't worship God and they worship every other thing. They may be worshiping yourself. You can say it's a self-image. You may be worshiping yourself. Idolaters. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Gee, Lord, help us. See, they will be without. They can't get to that city. I, Jesus, have sent my angel. And this another angel that is sending right now, we are the servants of God. Say, my servant, you can use servant there, to testify unto you these things in the churches. That I am the root and the offspring of David. And the bright and morning star. Amen. Talk to Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Say, then the bride and the spirit say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. So talk to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Anything the devil is dangling before me, I reject it, Lord. The devil promised Jesus Christ everything just to bow and worship and give up this thing that's still. Christ said, get thee behind me. So you take the devil right now, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not following the devil, I'm following Jesus. No matter what it costs, I'm following Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we worship you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you give every one of us the grace to follow to the end and never trade anything. No matter what the devil is dangling before us, we won't trade it. We won't trade this heaven for this, for the trails or the pleasures of this world. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Well, give God the glory. Give God the thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go into the, you can see that. Let the praise team come back.